We are joined in studio by our friend Sean Lash from Amera Astronomy Center. Hello, Sean.
Hey, great to be back.
Wonderful to have you here on this, well, a big celestial day here. The equinox has arrived.
The equinox has arrived early this morning, so we are officially in fall right now. So equinox, of course, means equal night, 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night. And so we're going to see our nights starting to get longer and our days a bit shorter.
Maybe it's just me, probably just me, because I forget from one year to the next. It seems like it's been getting dark very early, but I guess, you know, that's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, after the summer solstice, the days start to get shorter and shorter. The equinox is when you have, you know, again, that equal daylight, but now we're moving shorter yet. So starting, you know, we're going to see those days get shorter and shorter. Though, of course, it'll help once we go back to, you know, standard time as well. So that will help a bit.
Absolutely. Yep. What else is going on in the skies? Is this a... What do we get to see in this month of September and into early October?
Well, Venus is starting to join us in the evening, probably real this past week, actually, and over the next couple weeks, it's going to start to get higher in the sky. And Jupiter and Saturn are there right now as well. And there's another object that, you know, has sort of been in the news over the last week or so. There's this new interstellar comet. Comet Borus, which is recently discovered. And it's, if you remember, there was one a while back that had a lot of attention, Oumuamua, this Hawaii named after the Hawaiian name because it was discovered out in Hawaii. But basically, it's an interstellar comet, has a hyperbolic orbit. So it's one that comes in and starts to speed up and then heads on out. So this new one, Borus, was just discovered. It'll make perihelion around the middle of December or so. It's going to be only a telescopic object, though, because it's going to be faint. But it is of interest to astronomers because this is really the only second time we've seen one of these comets that's believed to have an interstellar orbit origin and not be from our own solar system.
Now, you mentioned Saturn and Jupiter. Are they visible in the evening sky or the morning sky?
Evening sky. So right now, Jupiter is sort of south-southwest as soon as it gets dark, and Saturn is almost directly south after sunset right now. So they're hard to miss.
Yeah. I love it. A lot of things going on, too. A busy, busy time at Amera Astronomy Center. And let's talk about what's happening this weekend. Big times with the Acadia Night Sky Festival.
Yeah, Acadia Night Sky Festival is this whole weekend. And, of course, most of the events are over at Acadia and in the park. But we are doing some additional special programming on Sunday. We have a 12:30 showing of Faster Than Light and a 3:30 showing of Solar Superstorms that day. This weekend, also the last weekend to check out our regular September programming. So Friday night, Space Aliens, Looking for Life in Our Universe, takes a look at sort of the difference between science and science fiction of the possibility of life elsewhere. And then, of course, our program on Sunday afternoons, Perseus, Legends of the Night Sky, Perseus and Andromeda finishes up, which is the classic story of Perseus and Andromeda and Cassiopeia and, of course, you know, Medusa and all that fun stuff. So definitely a fun program for kids.
I love it. And then as we roll into October, all kinds of new programming. And let's start with Friday nights at 7, Spooky Space.
Yeah, Spooky Space. We take a look at, of course, cosmic origins of Halloween. A lot of folks don't know that Halloween really is an astronomical holiday. It's one of the cross-quarter days and tied into that. And it really comes from, you know, primarily the Celtic culture from long ago. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll compare some spooky things in space to things here on Earth, like, you know, of course, Dracula to black holes and, you know, zombies to, of course, a variety of nebulae and different things like that. So it's kind of a fun program comparing some different spooky objects to, of course, some celestial ones and fun for really a great family program. And then on Sundays, we have our program for Real Little Tykes, One World, One Sky, Big Bird's Adventure, where you join Big Bird and Elmo, get to learn a little bit about day and night, the moon, and, of course, some of the constellations in the night sky. And we have Dropkick Murphys as our music program in October, which should be a lot of fun as well. Again, a little bit of that Celtic type of programming, really, for the month of Halloween. So a lot of fun things coming up.
And the Science Lecture Series, next one is coming up on Thursday the 10th at 7 o'clock with Dr. Scott Randall.
Yeah, that's going to take a look at 20 years of the Chandra X-ray Observatory and some of its major discoveries, some of the really cool imagery it has. And then looking ahead to future X-ray missions. And, of course, that observatory really helped revolutionize some of the things that we know about the X-ray sky. And I often tell folks, you know, if you go to a doctor and all they could do is look at you, you know, they really would only have a very limited ability to tell you what's wrong. But, of course, We use x-rays and infrared and ultraviolet, all these different wavelengths to really strip away the layers. We can do that in space as well. And they show us a variety of things that otherwise we wouldn't know about. X-rays in particular, really important when we look at things like black holes and really very energetic objects in our universe.
Obviously, a lot of things going on. A tour is going through. It's always good to check ahead and see what's happening up there. But it's that time of year when students, both young and old, are making their way back to the Astronomy Center and the Planetarium. And that's got to be exciting for you to get around.
Yeah, it's great to have, you know, our of course, the astronomy labs are back in session during the week. And I always tell folks, you know, so that means Monday through Thursday, they're using the telescopes out back. But Friday nights, we do have public observing after our regular public show. This past weekend, of course, was a huge weekend with the Friends and Family weekend. So we had a lot of additional programming this past Saturday and Sunday for that event. And we're full up for most of it. So that's really great. It's really nice. We're working on a variety of different things. We have a couple other special things coming up, actually, on tomorrow night. We're actually doing a special German programming piece. Ooh. We have a visiting person from Austria. And she is going to be presenting in German to our German students. So she's actually here on this International Planetarium Society exchange program. And Ruth is going to be doing some presentations at 5 o'clock tomorrow night for anyone who speaks German. So if you're interested in speak German, come on out. It's a free event, actually.
That sounds great. We're talking with Sean Lash of Amera Astronomy Center. I'm going to throw two questions at you that my little guy asked me. Mm-hmm. What's the most distant object in our solar system that we're able to see with the naked eye?
With the naked eye, it would be Uranus. So Uranus is, of course, you know, the basically our seventh planet, if you will, and past Saturn. And we, even though it was discovered by William Herschel with a telescope, it technically is at the limit of naked eye sight. But you need almost a perfect environment, so you need to be really dark skies, no light pollution on a night to be able to catch it. And it's going to look basically like a really pale greenish-blue, you know, star.
And are we able to see any other stars with the naked eye? Anything from outside our solar system?
Well, all the stars we see in the night sky are well beyond our own solar system other than our sun. So we see them now in terms of, like, planets going around other stars. Those we can't see because planets are so tiny compared to stars. That really, you know, it requires special instrumentation to be able to see them. Yeah.
I like that he's fascinated with it. We like to go out and take some night walks. But what about early morning? What can we see if we get up bright and early?
Well, right now, we primarily just have, you'll start to see some of the winter constellations coming into view at this point. We basically have a few summer constellations left over in the early evening, and we have our planets in the early evening. Right now, Mars and Mercury still behind the sun from our vantage point, so we have a while before we'll get to see them. And, you know, so the rest of the planets are sort of evening objects. So you're going to start to see some of the winter constellations as you move into the morning sky. So you're going to start to see things like Orion starting to pop back up and things of that nature.
I wanted to talk, too, briefly about the privatization of space. And we've got a lot of companies out there competing and working to get, eventually, to get people up there. How closely are our scientists in our space program working with these private groups? Is it really more of a cooperative effort?
Well, I think for sending, you know, people to, like, the International Space Station or things of that nature, that's definitely a cooperative effort. There has been discussion of, you know, space tourism, and that's more of a private effort. Of course, they are going to have to get things cleared by the government to be able to do it and things of that nature. But when you're talking about sending folks up for missions, you know, that are going to be scientifically related, those are going to be more partnership things. And I know that, you know, of course, SpaceX is very close to being able to send folks up to the space station. They've, of course, have a number of payload packages that have went up, you know, carrying supplies and materials, but they are getting pretty close. And hopefully in the next couple of years, they'll be able to actually send humans up to the space station, which would be good as well. You know, we're still working, NASA's still working on the SLS, and that's a, you know, a heavy lift vehicle, which is planned to possibly take people, you know, not just to the space station, but potentially back to the moon. You know, there's been discussion of that. We'll have to wait and see. And I do think that is one of those things you're going to start to see more of the sort of private, you know, enterprise involved in space exploration, because it's a very expensive, you know, venture. And typically governments nowadays have lots of other things on their plate, and you know, that's not always their first priority, you might say, in terms of funding.
Well, good things happening this month and into October as well. Check them all out. You can go to the website and learn more. Amera Astronomy Center. Sean, always great to see you. Thanks so much for stopping in.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.